Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry for the little technical difficulties that we had in our studio, but we are live on MLB Central, and Will is going to go over the topic overview tonight.
Tonight on MLB Central, your hosts Will Magalat and Ben Spector will dive deep into the Baltimore state of emergency and how it's affecting the people of Baltimore and the Orioles. Fans, remember, you too can be a part of the show if you call in at 516-666. 990 or enter our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/MLBCentral.
Baltimore lists National Guard and a curfew to fight riots and looting. Maryland's governor activated the National Guard on Monday, and the city of Baltimore announced a curfew for all residents in a turbulent day that began with the funeral of 25-year-old Freddie Gray's funeral, the nation's latest symbol of police brutality, and with rioting by rock-throwing youths, arson, looting, and at least 15 police officers injured. The violence that shook the city broke out in the late afternoon in the Mondawmin neighborhood of northwest Baltimore, where Mr. Gray's funeral had taken place. Angry residents threw bottles, rocks, and chunks of concrete at officers who lined up in riot gear with shields deployed. Cars were set on fire, storm windows were shattered. The CVS drugstore was looted, and the cafe inside a century-old Italian deli was destroyed. Trouble also erupted at the city's Lexington Market. By nighttime, the chaos seemed to be competing with a push for calm. Looters pulled junk food from convenience stores within a few blocks of police and riot gear and cars that had been set ablaze. At the same time, young men in black T-shirts from a local anti-violence group urged their neighbors to go back inside. A large fire burned in East Baltimore, consuming a partly built development project of the Southern Baptist Church that was to include housing for the elderly. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake arrived to the scene of the blaze and said it was under investigation. "We don't know if it is related to the riot," she said. Governor Larry Hogan declared a state of emergency, and the Maryland State Police took command of the response and they would ask for 5,000 law enforcement officials in the Mid-Atlantic region to help quell the violence. So National Guardians were to arrive on Monday night, with others deploying on Tuesday in armored Humvees. In Washington, Attorney General Loretta E. Lynch stayed on the job, briefed President Obama, who in turn called Governor Hogan Mr. Hogan, said the president urged him to have law enforcement officers exercise restraint, and he assured the president they would. But the governor added, "I assured him we weren't going to stand by and allow our city of Baltimore to be taken over by thugs." City officials said schools will be closed on Tuesday for the safety of children. At City Hall, Ms. Rawlings Blake, sounding exhausted and exasperated after days of appealing for calm, announced that a 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew would be imposed for a week beginning on Tuesday. The city already has curfew for juveniles under age 17. "Too many people have spent generations building up this city for it to be destroyed by thugs," she said. "I'm at loss for words. It is idiotic to think that by destroying your city that you're going to make life better for anybody." The police said that at least 27 people had been arrested. It was the second time in 6 months that a state called out the National Guard to enforce order in a city shaken by violence after a black man died in an encounter with police. Missouri deployed the Guard in Ferguson in August after a white police officer killed an unarmed black teenager, Michael Brown. And then again in November when violence greeted the news that a grand jury had not indicted the officer who shot Mr. Brown. At a late-night news conference, the Baltimore Police Commissioner, Anthony W. Batts, noted that Ferguson is a much smaller city than Baltimore, which covers 80 square miles. We were pulled so thin, he said, adding, we had opposite ends of the city pulling us at the same time. The police said early in the day that they had received a credible threat. The members of various gangs, including the Black Gorilla family, Bloods, and Crips, had entered into a partnership to take out law enforcement officers. But officers kept a low profile in the neighborhood during Mr. Gray's funeral. The police also said that a flyer circulated on social media called for a period of violence on Monday afternoon to begin at the Mondawmin Mall and move towards City Hall downtown. Warned by the police of possible violence, the University of Maryland campus in downtown Baltimore closed early, as did the Mondawmin Mall. The Orioles postponed their home game against the Chicago White Sox. The Baltimore police vowed the authorities would take appropriate measures to keep officers and the neighborhood safe. You're going to see tear gas. You're going to see pepper balls. We're going to use appropriate methods to make sure we can preserve the safety of that community, a spokesman, Captain J. Eric Kowalczyk, said at a news conference. 15 police officers were injured, some with broken bones and most unresponsive, according to the department. Pastor Jamal Bryant, who delivered Mr. Gray's eulogy, came back to the neighborhood after the burial on Monday afternoon to appeal for calm. He said he would send teams of men from his church, the Empowerment Temple, to help keep the peace. This is not what the family asked for. Today of all days, Mr. Bryant said, for us to come out of the burial and walk into this absolutely inexcusable. He said he was asking every young person to go back home, adding its frustration, anger, and disrespect for the family. Mr. Gray's death on April 19th, a week after sustaining a spinal cord injury while in police custody, has opened a deep wound in this majority black city, where Ms. Rollins Blake and Mr. Batts, both of whom are black, have struggled to reform a police department that has a history of aggression, sometimes brutal treatment of black men. Mr. Gray was chased and restrained by police on bicycles. At the Gilmore Homes on the morning of April 12th, a cell phone video of his arrest showed him being dragged into a policeman, seemingly limp and screaming in pain. The police have acknowledged that he should have received medical treatment immediately at the scene of the arrest, and have also said that he rode in the van unbuckled. After his arrival at the police station, medics rushed him to the hospital, where he slipped into a coma and died. The family said that 80% of his spinal cord was severed. Laronex was crushed. The death spawned a week out of protests that had been largely peaceful until Saturday night, when demonstrators who had spent the afternoon marching through the city scuffled with officers in riot gear outside Camden Yards baseball park. Authorities attributed the scattered violence that night to the outsiders who Ms. Rollins Blake said were inciting with go out there and shut the city down kind of messaging. But the violence on Monday was much more devastating and profound. A blow for a city whose leaders had been hoping Mr. Gray's funeral would show the nation its more peaceful side. At the new Shiloh Baptist Church, Mr. Gray lay in an open white coffin in a white shirt and tie, with a pillow bearing a picture of him in a red T-shirt against the backdrop of a blue sky and dove, with the message, peace, y'all. The service was more than a celebration of Mr. Gray's short life. It was a call for peace and justice, and for residents of Baltimore to help save the nationwide movement for better police treatment of black men that emerged last August after the fatal police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. The eyes of this country are all on us because they want to see whether we have the stuff to make this right, said William Murphy, the lawyer representing the Gray family. There's a fixture in legal and political circles here. They want to know whether our leadership is up to the task. Much of that leadership was seated in the pews, including Ms. Rollins Blake and Representative Elijah E. Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, who was one of the speakers. Also among the mourners were Kwesi Mufumi, a former congressman and chief of the NAACP, three aides to President Obama, and several family members of others killed by the police in several parts of the country, including Erica Garner, daughter of Eric Garner, a man who died after a police officer put him in a chokehold last year on Staten Island. She said she had come to stand with the family of Freddie Gray. It's unfortunate, but I feel we have a connection. In his eulogy, Mr. Bynum spoke of the plight of poor, young black men like Mr. Gray living, confined to a box, made up of poor education, lack of job opportunities, and racial stereotypes. The box of thinking all black men are thugs and athletes and rappers. Jadu has been asking himself, what am I doing with my life? Mr. Bryant said. In the field at age 25, the law school closing in on him. Mr. Bryant insisted that Mr. Ray's death would not be in vain. He vowed that Baltimore residents would keep demanding justice, but also issued a pointed rebuke to the congregation, telling members that black people must take control of their lives and force the government and police to change. This is not the time for us as a people to be sitting on the corner drinking malt liquor, he roared, as his voice and the congregation clapping rose to his feet. This is not the time for us to be playing the lottery or at the horsing casino. This is not the time for us to be walking with our pants hanging down. He said, get your black self up and change this city. And he added, I don't know how you can be black in America and be silent. With everything we've been through, ain't no way in the world you can sit here and be silent in the face of injustice. But as the day went on, the mood changed. The violence appears to have begun inside the Mondawmin Mall. Erica Ellis, 23, who works in a GameStop store there, says the mall was shut down at 2 p.m., not long after Mr. Gray's funeral cortege left for his burial. She said she went outside and saw a big line of police officers and hundreds of young people started throwing rocks and bricks. The police did not respond immediately, she said. The police officers were trying as hard as they can to not hurt the people's children, she said. At the corner of North Fulton and West North Avenue, looters could be seen breaking into stores and walking out with cases of food and water, while hundreds of police officers and high gear gathered about four blocks away. When a pair of police officers tried to enter the area, young men threw bottles. Several of the men wore surgical masks. Some carried baseball bats. Others carried plates. While several people held signs that said stop the war, protesting peacefully, rising chaos surrounded them. A broken-down BMW sat empty in the middle of the street. Shards of glass from convenience store windows lay on the pavement, and a young man carrying bolt cutters walked by. Residents looked on aghast. Not far from the Gilmore Homes, the public housing development where Mr. Gray was first arrested, and looters, all at once. All they had to do was march, but they did this, she said, sounding disgusted, as the CVS door burned nearby. You can take stuff out of the store, but why do you have to burn it down? Now, Will, I know that was a lot for our listeners to take in, but what are your thoughts on the whole Baltimore state of emergency?
I just think it's just awful. I mean, the whole situation with how Freddie Gray was just killed in custody and then how it has just escalated so quickly, even to the point where Coast Guard has to be patrolling the whole city and they even have to have, and they can't even let anyone into the ballpark. It's just awful.
I know our listeners just took in a lot of information, but there is still more that listeners need to hear about the whole Baltimore state of emergency. So Governor Larry Hogan called state of emergency in Baltimore. The latest on Freddie Gray death, massive building fire, schools closed Tuesday, 10:21 p.m. Maryland's Attorney General Brian E. Frosch has called for an end to the violence. In a statement, he says, the death of Freddie Gray was a tragedy. Perhaps it could lead us on a path toward progress. Violence, fire saluting will not get us there, he added. The line from peaceful protest to looting and violence has sadly been crossed. The events in Baltimore are putting first responders and many in our community at risk, destroying property and injuring citizens and law enforcement officers drive us apart. The violence must stop. 10:06 p.m. Firefighters are spraying water on neighboring commercial and residential buildings around what's left of the Mary Harbin Transformation Center, which continued to smolder after being engulfed by flames earlier. They sought to assure that no flames spread, given the number of abandoned row houses nearby. Kevin Johnson, a 53-year-old resident of the area, the building was for the elderly. They built it from the ground up for elderly people, for old people, Johnson said. Now it's burned down, ma'am. That don't make no sense. It's burned down. 9:55 p.m. Governor Larry Hogan says he's declared a state of emergency for Baltimore less than 30 seconds after the city's mayor requested it. At his evening news conference earlier, Hogan said of Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake that he was glad that she finally did. Called the governor's office to request the state of emergency. We are all in the command center in the second floor of the state house in constant communication, and we were trying to get in touch with the mayor for quite some time. She finally made that call, and we immediately took action, Hogan said. Asked if the mayor should have called for help sooner, Hogan replied that he didn't want to question what Baltimore officials were doing. I know that the city has done everything in their power to get this under control. I don't want to question what they've been doing. They're all under tremendous stress. We're all on one team. 9:30 p.m. A massive fire has broken out in a building that was under construction, and the Baltimore mayor's spokesman says it's related to the riot. Spokesman Kevin Harris described that the fire is related to the riots and that it's burning the Mary Harlan Transformation Center, described online as a community-based organization that supports youth and families. The CVS pharmacy was also set on fire earlier in the day. Businesses have been looted, and at least 15 officers were injured in the chaos. The riot started after the funeral for Freddie Gray, who had a mysterious injury after being arrested. 9:20 p.m. Attorney General Loretta Lynch is condemning the rioting in Baltimore that followed the funeral of Freddie Gray, who died from a spinal injury he suffered while in police custody. In a statement Monday, her first day on the job, Lynch said those who have destroyed property have done a disservice to Gray's family. She said she would send Justice Department officials to the city in coming days, including Benita Gupta, the agent's top civil rights lawyer. Rioters set police cars ablaze, leading the Maryland governor to declare a state of emergency and call in the National Guard. The FBI and Justice Department are investigating Gray's death for potential criminal civil rights violations. The six officers who were involved in Gray's arrest joined the National Guard to help police with riots in Baltimore was a last resort. Governor Larry Hogan said Monday night that he did not make the decision lightly. He earlier declared a state of emergency, activating the Guard. Hogan took office in January. The call for the Guard comes after people set cars on fire, looted businesses, and threw bricks at police officers, hours after the funeral for Freddie Gray. Gray died after suffering injuries in police custody. 8:30 p.m. About 200, mostly men, are marching arm-in-arm through a neighborhood that is littered with broken glass, divided in aluminum cans, and other debris after riots in Baltimore. Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings is among them. As a group approached Fulton Avenue, getting close to a line of police officers, the marchers went down on their knees. After the ministers got back on their feet, they walked until they were face-to-face with the police officers in a tight formation and wearing riot gear. Neighborhood residents were standing on their stoops, taking pictures. Some clapped their hands. The marchers were protesting the police custody death of Freddie Gray. 8 p.m. The issue imposed a week-long curfew after people looted stores, set fire to cars, and threw bricks and other objects at police officers. Mayor Stephanie Rollins-Blake says a curfew will be imposed Tuesday from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. The mayor, a lifelong Baltimore resident with too many people, spent generations building up the city, where it's being destroyed by thugs. All right, well, before we head to break, just give your last quick thoughts on, and the whole state of emergency is here, and Governor Larry Hogan and Mayor Ms. Stephen Rollins-Blake are working together on this. When do you think this whole Baltimore situation will stop?
I don't know when it'll stop. I mean, I think the riots are definitely going to keep going for maybe quite some time. But I think it's a very bold and brave move to have to call in the national security. I'm wondering how these next couple nights will play out.
I mean, I'm in the same spot with you, wondering how are these nights going to pan out and how everything's going to work for the city of Baltimore. Now, since we did run a little long on our show today, we're going to continue talk until we go to break. We will be going to break in about 30 seconds, so it's going to be a little bit of a strange show because we're going to go to break, play the song, then we're probably going to go right to the seven-minute stretch. So I apologize to everybody who did want to hear more, but before we do head to break, as we did yesterday and will, if it's your first time doing it, the random player of the day, guess this person. So I will give you now the information. Give us a picture. That's right. Throws right. Height 5 feet 11. Weight 185 pounds. Born March 4th, 1983 in Brawley, California. Age 32.056. High school. Brawley Union High School, Brawley, California. Schools, Arizona Western College, Yuma, Arizona, Mesa State College, Grand Junction, Colorado, University of North Alabama, Florence, Alabama. Drafted by the San Francisco Giants in the 28th round of the 2005 Amateur Draft. Signed June 9, 2005. Debut June 26, 2008. Age 25.114, 16,963rd in MLB history. Versus Cleveland, one inning pitch, no hits, two strikeouts, no walks, no earned runs. Rookie status. Exceeded rookie limits during 2009 season. Team, Giants 2008 through 2015. 2015 contract status, signed through 2016, 2 years, $15 million, 15 to 16. Service time, as of January 1st, 2015, 6.097, reagent in 2017. His agent started the Money Sports Management, previously Par Sports and Entertainment GP, also known as Isaac. His number is 54. So, Bill, do you have any guess?
Tim Lincecum.
That is incorrect. Fans, call in at 516-666-9990 with your guesses or enter our channel at www.blogtalkradio.com/MLBCentral to see if you can try to beat Will to the player. After break, he will also be Jeff. I'm Benson Vector, my co-host is Will Marathon. We're going to break. Central, and before Will gets his guest, starting a little bit of a new thing on MLB Central. It's called the Twitter feed of the day, and we take the Twitter feed that we've gotten from our fans, and we say them. So the first one is, Will doing great as usual, an extra perk of working from home, listening to MLB Central. The second one is, the Chicago Sox and O's are not scheduled for 161 games. It's sad that the Baltimore state of emergency has happened. These two are from one of the commish at Baseball Soapbox and Paul Doucette at PG Deuce. 7. So, Will, what is your guess before we one last hit? 516-666-990 or enter a chat at www.blogtalkradio.com/MLBCentral. We're going to give you a count from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Will, what was your guess?
Sergio Romo.
That is correct. And now, just like we did yesterday when the fans lost, again, this challenge turned down 2-0. Since we did not have our joke, we're going to be laughing at you. All right, time to go to the 7-minute stretch. We're back on MLB Central, and now it's time for Say Something. Will?
My closing statement on this has to just be all the awful riots that have been going on and down in Baltimore.
I mean, we didn't really get to it that much, but nobody in the stadium for the first time ever during the Baltimore or Chicago White Sox game. It's a pretty big deal. I mean, you have to look at a state of emergency. It's bigger than baseball, and that's why we talked about it today, and that's why we gave you all the information that we gave you today so you understand more about the state of emergency and you give your support to this awful death of Freddie Gray. All right. I would thank George, Kathleen, and Brennan Fetcher for helping with the planning and production of the MLB Central. Tomorrow night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. You can tune in to MLB Central at www.blogtalkradio.com/MLBCentral. And tomorrow, fans, we're going to be doing what we do every Thursday. We're going to give you our playoff predictions, but we're doing something a little bit new. It's called The Seahawks Are About to Out. We're going to do it every Thursday along with our playoff predictions. Listener, please follow MLB Central on Blog Talk Radio at the same URL as I said before and on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Again, this is MLB Central. We broadcast half an hour every weekday. I'm Madison Factor. My co-host is Will McElhone. You can email us at MLBCentral1@gmail.com with any questions. Also, MLB Central is lucky enough to be getting a brand new office, which we are super excited about. Have a great day.